Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Yeah, no, 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 no. Butulani mdazakasi, we hear you. And we are hearing you through your very own music selection this afternoon. Thank you so much. Amazing, amazing sounds, my family, bringing us to 37 minutes after 12. That is your time. Thy will be done. That is the sound that has brought us to this time. CC Winans, you will remember that one. That's the album that came out after Throne Room in 2008. Throne Room was a 2006, 7, yes, album. Yeah, and then we got Thy Kingdom Come, and this track title is called Thy Will Be Done. Yeah, it's taking us all the way back. Vuthulani, what are you doing? Man, you are really setting the mood for our conversation coming up with my family, our next guest who joins us on the line. And we're really looking forward to it. Julianne Haas joins us this afternoon from an incredible organization, Reflect with Julianne. And the topic there is life after 40. Looking forward to it. So before the sound, we also heard from a Trinity 527, and yeah, the track title there, Dance Like It's Sunday, 2002 sound, a bit jazzy, you know, Youth and Dala type of vibes. Looking forward to the rest of your requests, my family. Want to acknowledge you coming through on the WhatsApp line. Yeah, so we've got the family with the number ending 959 coming through. Looking for Donnie McClurkin. That is also coming up. We kickstarted this music mania with Kirk Franklin from the album The Essential Kirk Franklin, a track titled Hello Fear. And on that note, we have absolute pleasure, my family, in welcoming our next guest. Looking forward to it. And yeah, Julianne Haas is a systemic therapist and counselor with a master's in psychology. And we look forward to the thrilling and meaningful tools of how to do this journey called life after 40. Julianne, good afternoon and welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no, we absolutely look forward to all the life hacks and the tools that you have in store for us this afternoon. Maybe let's kickstart by just understanding your work, Julianne, the kind of work that you do, and, you know, the real heart behind the work that you do.
Yeah, thank you so much. This is actually really exciting to be here and speak about my work. So I studied psychology. I was always passionate about human beings. I was always curious to understand the stories and understand what people need. And I still remember in high school, my best friend reminded me or told me that, don't go for psychology. Don't you know all of people who study psychology end up being weird? And then I completely dropped that dream of mine. And later in life, I thought to myself, but aren't we all a little bit weird?
Yeah, no.
So I thought to myself, I still want to continue this dream. So after university, I did psychology. I'm from Germany originally, but I've been based in South Africa for many years. So I studied psychology in Germany and did some time at Tux, at UP as well. And for me, it was always fascinating. And then I wanted to do a therapy training, and I chose systemic therapy, which not a lot of people might know.
Sure.
But I always say there's three main streams. There's the analysts. They look more in the childhood, everything that happened there. And there's the CBT. They give you tools and plans to work on. But the systemic therapists, they look broader at the systems you work and you live in, at the people you connect with, but also at the resources that you have inside and what you've built. And for me, all three streams have a place, but I work more subclinical, so people who don't necessarily have a diagnosis, who are not ill, but who just want to have that sounding board for their own growth or for their own healing journeys. And for that, I offer retreats just north of Pretoria. I have a small farm, but I also offer counseling sessions, couples counseling and individual counseling and therapy at my offices.
Thank you so much to that, Julianne. You know, the beautiful thing for me, whenever we trace the journey of psychology and the journey of the study of psychology, is how much, as you say, that whilst we are trying to study, we actually discover a lot more about ourselves, yeah?
That is so, so, so true. It's so true. We discover so much. And also, I love the fact that Since I came to South Africa, I discovered so much more about myself and what it meant growing up in Germany. So
yeah.
I also love looking into new places and finding out that I learn about myself more than I thought I would. Yeah.
Now tell me, Julian, today's conversation wants to explore life after 40. What is this thing about life beginning at 40? Just from, you know, a psychology and I think maybe even a philosophy point of view, at this point, we just want to understand, what is this about life beginning after 40?
Yeah, so interesting. And actually, when I got the invite and I started thinking about it, it took me right back to an afternoon stroll I had with my mom last summer when I was visiting, and we went through the forest and we were talking about life. And out of curiosity, I just said to my mom, you know, tell me a little bit about the different stages and how you felt, when you felt most like down or defeated. And she said to me, you know what, 40 is something else. Because she said, you know, when I turned 40, I had to suddenly come to terms with the fact that certain dreams I have might actually not work out. They might not materialize. I had to come to the realization that certain things I wanted to do with my body, with the people around me, with my career, with my life, just with everything, might actually not come to fruition anymore. And she said in her 30s, she never thought that way. Because in the 20s, she thought everything is possible. In the 30s, she thought, I'm building, I'm putting the tools together. And in her 40s, she suddenly realized, wow, there are things I have now and other things I might not find anymore. And she said, coming to terms with that was actually a deep reckoning. And it's so interesting that this is a story that takes us right to the heart of psychological research.
Mm.
Because if you look at psychological research of happiness, there's something psychologists are very familiar with, which is called the U shape of happiness.
Wow.
And what we mean when we study psychology is that happiness is very high when you start when you're in your young age, and somehow declines over the years, and guess when it takes a dip? In your 40s. And often it picks up again, but we have to factor in that there is also people who are more affected by poverty or ill health in older age. So for them, that might not always be true, but often it does pick up again. So this is fascinating when you think about the U shape of happiness. It's often that when you're in your 40s, you find yourself often at the lowest.
Tell me, Julian, sorry, let me just interject there. So when you look at the U, at which point is 40 in the U?
It's the lowest. It's really on average with the research that we've seen. In it is the low point. And this is really, really fascinating. There's been some research that is questioning to which extent the happiness goes up collectively again. But this understanding that with the UK film, it's really well researched and well studied. So for me, that was something I definitely also wanted to bring in and raise today.
Sure.
But, you know, when I think about it, or, you know, when I unpack what does that mean now?
Yeah.
Why do we still say life begins after 40? Is when you actually dip in your 40s, I think it also has a lot to do with your relationship with achievement, with your relationship of building things, with your relationship to all of the boxes you wanted to tick. And suddenly you have to realize life is not that magic escalator that we often think it is. And you start stumbling and tripping and falling and things don't work out the way you plan. Relationships might not work out the way you plan. Careers are not as exciting as we promised you that they will be. Money doesn't come as easy. Even sometimes in your own relationship with yourself or with your spirituality, you might find challenges. You might encounter struggles.
Sure.
And I think this opens a door for the question to say, what is life actually about? And that's why I think that point still holds true, that life can begin at those moments. When
I love that. You know why I love that? Because here's the next big question that I have been trying to ask myself. Why do we never, Julian, why do we not make time? Or rather, why do we not ask the intentional question, and maybe a little bit more sincerely, about what is life all about before 40? Why is it that we are so busy with everything else before 40 that only at 40 do we actually sit down and ask ourselves, no man, hold on, wait a minute, what is life all about?
I think often it's because I think we have a certain script.
The scripting
often we
thing.
We have a script what we think will make us happy. We have a script how we think we build a relationship and a family. We have a script how we build a career. So, and I often find that, like a lot of people who come to the therapy room, there is this understanding, there is this desperation that they feel, but I've done everything, I've achieved so much, I've put in what I thought I need to put in to find fulfillment and happiness, and it is just not coming. Because I think we have an idea of the ladder to achievement, but we expect that at the top we will be content and happy and fulfilled. And we climb the ladder and create certain things and build certain things. But suddenly we have to realize our emotions don't follow the way we thought they would. And we also have to realize that I've never seen anything in life that is easier to maintain than it is to build up. And that is where we then find ourselves. And that's when the questions arise. Because before, I mean, I think that in my life also, you know, sometimes I include myself there. When I have struggles, I'm not happy. I'm like, yeah, but if I just find this, if I just have this relationship, if I have this material thing, if I have this next career, we'll be fine. You know, we'll be cruising.
If I can just clench that deal.
And then I think you become more realistic. You become more honest with yourself. And that's often incredibly hard. That's why also therapy is sometimes so hard. Sometimes gets worse before it gets better, because you look at yourself, you look at your pain, but then you can also address them, you can heal them, and you can find what life is about for you.
What are your thoughts around the scripting thing, Gillian? Because look, we are born into a script, okay, and we are socialized into a script. And we teach our children to live according to a script, even though we have seen evidence in our own lives.
It's always so interesting. It's like, and I like to ask my friends this question, or older friends, did your grandparents tell you? And then they say, oh, sometimes they will comment, like my friend had a child 2 years ago. Four, she had another one. And she says, now sometimes the granny would say, I wanted you to find out for yourself.
Yeah.
Like, what is this? Why did you not tell us? And, you know, I'm always so surprised, but you know, I think what I've come to terms with is what it is. I think a lot of parents out there, a lot of grandparents have more trust in their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren than they have in themselves. So they think their own issues, their own sense of failure, their own struggles, their own unhappiness will not apply to this little one that they look up to so much. So why taint their image? So I think it comes from an inherently positive and worthwhile intention. Just that it leaves the little one sometimes a little bit lost and not being able to really unpack these conversations and not being able to find out, oh, actually, I can resonate. And that's what I sometimes find so interesting, because when I also have some clients who really come to the hard rock places in life, you know, loss of employment, illness, loss of love, even divorce, and maybe not being the parent they wanted to be, not being the friend they wanted to be. Sometimes when they share it with people who are older, they are so surprised how much empathy there is. They are so surprised that actually those people, their parents, grandparents, who've never spoken to them about that, that somehow have it in themselves to understand those moments.
Tell me,
I've also been to those places.
And
I think the script is so powerful because we have so much trust in the younger ones, in the younger generation. We trust them more than ourselves.
Look, it does look like we've lost Gillian for one reason or another. We've definitely lost her on the line. So let's try and see, my family, if we can actually check in with her. She does say that the line got cut off. So let's check in with her. But what are your thoughts? I am fascinated. I mean, please do share what are your thoughts. Of course, I mean, it doesn't matter, even if you're not a 40-year-old or 40-plus, of course, you've observed, you've seen, you know, you've watched, and all of that. And so do share your thoughts. We'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts around life after 40, life at 40 if you are still at 40, or life after 40? What are some of the mistakes that you look back and you think, could have done better to prepare myself for this big 4-0? Yeah, so let's talk about that. Julianne, we sincerely apologize for that.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But there's one thing I wanted to add about the script.
Sure, please go ahead.
Because what I always tell my clients is, you know what? I don't think necessarily the script is the biggest problem, because it's good that we had some guidelines how to be successful and so forth. Yes, we could question them more, but you know where I think it becomes problematic is the moment you think, if I tick all of those boxes, I will be happy and fulfilled and content. That's where I think the actual problem comes in, because it promises us something that isn't that easy to find.
So maybe let's define these boxes, and we'll do it, just generally. So a friend of mine and I, we did a bit of a podcast, like a poddy thing, and we were talking about the script because we got to this point and we realized we have done nothing according to the script. You know what I mean? So at least we... So at least, you know, we identified that, look, we did pass matric on record time. At least that we did do. But after that, we didn't get our degrees on record time. We didn't. We were launched out to work before we got our degrees. And then during that time, we then got back to school. She and I are still unmarried, no children. I mean, for obviously spiritual reasons, we decided no children before marriage, you know, trying to keep, you know, the holy life and all of that. And so for us, that script is basically, you know, in file 13, right in the bin.
A lot of people, the funny thing is that the script is actually not the norm. It just makes you often experience a sense of shame if you are not in line with the script.
Right.
Which is so incredibly sad, because for a lot of people it's not true. It's for most of us it is not true like that. There is no life that goes like an escalator, linear. Maybe one or two, but for most of us this is really not how life is.
Right. And so here's the big thing then, Julianne, before we let you go, how do we, and I mean, I'm really hoping that we can do, you know, conversations following this one, so that we can start to touch on the important touch points. You mentioned the issue around, you know, the journey to 40. And I do want to explore, what are some of the effective ways and tools that we can start teaching our children, maybe outside of the script, you know, to prepare themselves for this time, that when you do your own reconciliation of your life, your work, your mistakes, your wins, your victories, that you are able to say, okay, at least I really did do the best I could, and not look back and think, I have regrets, I should have done this and all of that. Anyway, so right now, the 40-year-old, 50-year-old, 60-year-old is listening and thinking, hey, I don't know where to start. All I've been doing is living, you know, on I've been living on the edge, trying to figure out, you know, how to put out this fire, I don't know what to do now. I would like to be at peace. I would like life to make sense. What do I do?
Yeah, wonderful. I think that's a really important question. And I always encourage people, you know, start and see it as two separate letters. There is the letter of all of the achievements you want to have, the things you want to do, the things you want to own, all of those worldly items. Yeah, there is this letter, and we live in a world of subjects and material things and owning things and having things. And I think at the core of who we are as people, we like to build and create. So I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And I think we can really pursue that. What I just think is important is that we realize what that letter gives you is precisely what it stands for. It gives you achievement, and it gives you the things that you can build and you can own. However, I think what's important is that we realize at the top of this ladder is not what nourishes our soul and what builds our identity and happiness.
Sure.
That requires another path that we have to walk. And on that path are a lot of things that we often downplay or devalue or think are less important as we are building the big things in our life.
Mm.
And on that path are really relationships, friendships, and the quality of it. Not just having the partner, having the friends, having parents or family, but actually how you live with them, how you connect with them. On that journey is how you nourish your soul, you know, how you take time for yourself, how you take time for your spiritual practice. And that is really about the greater things that matter in your life. And for a lot of people and listeners here, that is God.
Sure.
But that can also be what you connect with. It's also part of nature. Many people feel closer to the spirituality when they are in nature.
Mm.
It's also tapping inside, taking time and peace. It's a lot about rituals. And I always find it so interesting that in a lot of religions, like in Christianity, think about how many rituals do we have. And if you map those rituals to what we find out in the research about happiness and well-being, I think they make so much sense, you know? Taking breaks, taking time to yourself, humming or singing, having that rhythm, sharing meals, sharing the bread. All of these are small daily rituals, and when you look at what is it that helps us with well-being, it's often those things. And we even at the retreat, when we do that, we take people away for a weekend, just north, 30 minutes north of Pretoria. And there's so many small things that we do. And it's always funny how the small things stand out in people's healing journey.
Mm.
The tea that we share when we watch the sunrise. The scent that the flavors that we have with the candles that we pay attention to, which we don't do in our everyday life. The paintings about where we see ourselves and feel and the colors we put into, those things stand out. So where I would start, and that's sometimes maybe a disappointing point, but I think it's also an encouraging point, I would start with the things that we often believe are the small things in life. Paying attention to your routines, paying attention to your relationships, paying attention to your soul and what nourishes your soul and spirit, paying attention to your health holistically, getting in the hours that you need to sleep, getting in the time outside, moving your body, not just to sweat, but just to move it, you know, even a walk. All of these things can help. And for me, where I would like, well, encourage people to start is really to say, what makes you feel connected? And I think that's where you will find a lot of answers, what life is about, beyond the ladder of achievement.
Sure. Wow, Julianne, this was exactly what we needed it to be for the first conversation, you know. Thank you so much for sharing those insights with us. Now, I know that Reflect with Julianne is a thriving practice where you meet, you know, with those that require a bit of life coaching, that require, you know, a bit of help in terms of tools and means and ways in which to understand and decode their own journey. Where do we find you? How do we connect with you?
Well, definitely you can find me online, reflectwithjulianne.com. I'm also on Instagram, reflect_with_julianne. So I think that's easiest. And I'm sure you will also share on the website my contact details, which is email or my number.
Fantastic. Julianne, this was absolutely phenomenal. Thank you so much, and have yourself
Thank you so much for having me. Have yourself a really blessed weekend.
Yeah?
You too.
Awesome. Awesome. My family, that is Julianne Haas. Reflect with Julianne. Is it .com? .com, yeah. It's reflectwithjulianne.com. Please do find her, follow her. This conversation will certainly be podcast. I'm smiling from ear to ear because, wow, the nuggets that are shared, and I really hope that it's going to help somebody, because sometimes a friend of mine said the other day that we are socialized to be such hard workers and high achievers. And in the journey of being a high achiever, what we forget to prioritize is learning how to prioritize ourselves. And of course, as a child of God, you know, we learn along the journey that self, we don't invest in self. We invest, like Julianne said, in the things that make us feel connected. So we invest in our relationship with the Lord. So instead of investing in our relationship with the Lord, we do spend a significant amount of time investing in education. And we want to be excellent, my family. We want to be good stewards, you know. But all of that has to come from a healthy foundation of the core of who we are. Christ being the core of who we are. Man, this is going to be good. Anyway, so next week is going to be bigger, better, and we look forward to it. But right now, it's time for us to cross over to the newsroom. It's a minute after one here on Heart to Heart on a Friday afternoon.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.